better. So, hello, my name's Sean Tibbs. I'm a co-founder of LanzaTech, and thanks to the organisers for inviting me here. So LanzaTech's developed a technology that can take gases consisting of carbon monoxide and or hydrogen and carbon dioxide, or all three, and convert that through to fuel via a biological fermentation process. Put simply, we've developed microbes that can live on gases, that use gases as their sole source of carbon energy, and as a byproduct of their metabolism, produce, in the first instance, produce ethanol, but we also have an interest in higher energy density, perhaps longer chain fuels for future development. There are 3 trillion reasons to make fuel. The liquid fuel market around the world is, I don't know, $3 trillion. It doesn't really matter what that number is, doesn't matter how accurate that is and to how many decimal places. The fact is it's vast. It's vast, it's global, it's growing. In the case of biofuels, in many parts of the world it's mandated. I don't actually like the term biofuels, I don't actually think it's particularly valid. We're in the fuel industry. We're making a fuel, and that's our market. If we can make our fuel at a reasonable cost, that will be our market. People won't care that it's a biofuel. People won't care where it comes from. People will just be interested that this is something that they can use in their car that's cheaper than what's available today. It's a vast, vast market. It's interesting, when we first started LanzaTech in 05, we actually used to have to explain to people why it was that we were making ethanol, why it was that we were making fuel. We don't anymore. $150 oil, that helps. But actually, consciousness around the possibilities here and the fact that the world is changing, the fact that we're not going to be running our cars on oil-derived fuels forever, has really, really shifted in a very short space of time. What's that future fuel industry going to look like? It's going to be reliant on technologies. Today, the oil industry, you could argue, is somewhat reliant on technology. It's actually much more reliant on supply. In future, it's going to be reliant entirely on us developing technologies today that can feed fuel for that industry. Today's technologies aren't enough. Today, we can produce fuel from food crops like corn and from sugarcane. Not enough to fill the gap. Not enough to displace $3 trillion worth of fuel globally. Therefore, new technologies are required, and ultimately, the lowest cost technology will dominate. The technology that can produce fuel at the lowest cost and at the highest volumes, that they will dominate. At LanzaTech, we've developed a company on the philosophy of producing lowest cost fuel, and we think you can produce lowest cost fuel by focusing on using lowest cost feedstock. If you look at corn industry, corn ethanol industry, between 60 and 80% of the cost of making ethanol from corn reflects the cost of the corn it was made from. If you can affect the cost of the feedstock from which you make your fuel, you're going to have the greatest effect, have the greatest impact on the cost of your final product. What's an ideal feedstock? An ideal feedstock is very low value, doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost you very much. It's produced in extremely high volumes because the market is extremely large. It's available at a point source, this is a big thing. You don't have to go and harvest it and gather it up and bring it to a central location because that's going to cost you a lot of money. Transport costs are very, very high. And it's available today, we would argue. We're very interested in anything that's out there that's available that can be converted through to a fuel. If you were to set up a whole infrastructure, a whole industry around supplying your technology with feedstock, yeah, then you're delaying your path to market. So what have we developed? We've developed a feedstock agnostic process. It can take feedstocks such as waste biomass, municipal solid waste, even industrial waste. Waste biomass and municipal solid waste can both be gasified through to a gas that's essentially carbon monoxide, hydrogen, and carbon dioxide that we can use in our process. Industrial waste comes in many flavours. We focus on the steel industry. Steel industry produces a gas that In some gas streams, is up to 80% carbon monoxide that we can use in our process. Our process, therefore, can use a range of chemistries in terms of the gas you supply to it. We only focus on the middle part. We only focus on developing the conversion process to take those gases through to fuels. But we believe that's the model that will allow the production of those lowest cost fuels of the future. So mostly I've actually brought here to chat a bit about our ability to raise funds and what it was like raising funds and where we got them from. And of course the fact that we managed to raise funds from Cosa Ventures. So I thought I'd put a slide up just to say who Cosa Ventures are or who Vinod Cosa is. And I thought Nick Garrison gave a fantastic talk and mentioned Vinod in that talk as someone who had already changed the world. And he really is someone who's already changed the world. This guy invested large sums of money in technologies that were only valid in a very changed world, in a world where everything was dominated by the internet and internet sales. And hey presto, that world came to be. He invented that world to an extent. He invented the future. And that's what he's doing now. He became a very, very rich gentleman from doing that, and now he's putting his money into clean tech in a very, very big way. It's very exciting to be associated with these guys. So how do you get to meet them? The first way you meet them is to always have great investors. LanzaTech has been extraordinarily fortunate in always securing great investors. We had our first investors were some guys in a small company here in Auckland called Biodiscovery. They're two scientists who'd been working for about 15 years in a small company. They're scientists. They understood what we were trying to do, and they gave us $100,000 to start off with. We then managed to attract investment from two, I would say, icons of the New Zealand business and biotech scene, in Stephen Tindall and the late Ross Clark. These guys, again, moved us up a level, allowed us to get contacts with people we could never get contacts with before, and Ross Clark was certainly able to introduce us through his vast network of contacts in certainly the Bay Area to Vinod. You go and see Vinod, and the temptation is always to start telling him about your business case. And frankly, this guy just laughs in your face. Because he doesn't care what you think about how you're going to make money with your technology. This guy knows how he's going to make money with your technology if you invest in it, and he doesn't care what your opinion is. He wants to know what your technology is and what its chances of working are. How are you going to get from where you are today, which is a test tube, to a refinery? And what you need to do that, and what quantum of cash you think you're going to need to do that. And then in his mind he starts doubling, tripling and quadrupling that and considering whether or not that's worth it. He then, because he doesn't take your words for anything, he then sends down to New Zealand some of the best scientists in the world to kick the tyres, as it were. At the time in Cosa Ventures, Doug Cameron, former chief scientist of Cargill, and a group of consultant chemical engineers were sent down to see us, and it was terrifying for a long time. And they asked all sorts of very hard questions about how plausible it was to make fuels out of steel mill gas, but we had some answers, and they agreed with those answers, so they decided to put the money in. It's not about the business case. If you're making a fuel, the business case is obvious to these guys. What does Cosa want? He wants us to hire the best team. Now, that's a real big challenge down here in New Zealand. But we think we've put together an excellent team. Is it the best team? I don't know. But we've got an excellent team. He wants us to patent aggressively. We're a company of now 23 people. I think at the time that we were 15 people, we'd hired our own in-house patent attorney. Because we were spending so much on patents that it was worth it. It made sense. It made commercial sense. But also, then the node recognises that he actually owns the things that we develop. These are tangible assets now. They're patents. Andy wants us to get steel in the ground. We went to him and said, okay, Vinod, I think we want $3.5 million, and that's going to last us for, I think we said at the time, 3 years. It lasted about 10 months because straight after getting the investment in, and bearing in mind we're in a test tube at this time, Vinod said, I think it's about time you guys got a pilot plant and get out there and make all the mistakes that you're going to make, get some steel in the ground, prove this thing at a large scale, let's get going. Terrifying, but you've got to do it. It's fast. The market's moving fast. There's a lot of people out there who want to overtake your position, and therefore you've got to go out there. You've got to make those mistakes. You've got to spend the capital because the prize is so huge. You want to be out there capturing that market quickly. Now a little bit about New Zealand. I mean, in terms of clean tech, these islands of New Zealand are a wet dream. We've got everything here. We've got wind, waves, tide, geothermal, biomass, agriculture, solar, hydro. We've got everything. We've got the lot. There's almost not a resource that we don't have that we convert into energy using technologies that are probably represented in the room here. So we've got the resources, no problem. We've got the ideas. You know, people always banging on about number 8 wire and punching above our weight and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, we've got ideas. There's loads of ideas out there as to how we can convert this myriad of resources into something useful. What we don't have are people who, beyond an angel investment stage, are prepared to take risks with millions of dollars. And that's what we need. As I said, we were incredibly fortunate to have the people I would regard as the only people in New Zealand at the time who were going to take risk on our technology, and those were Stephen Tindall and the late Ross Clark. Would we, at the time we went to the US with our idea, would we have got investment from VC locally? No. We were too risky. Well, it is risky, but is it worth it? Yes. Is it more risky than pharma? No. Is it more risky than developing a drug? No. Is it as costly as developing a drug? Yes. Are the rewards as high? They're higher. So I think that there's vast opportunity. All I'm doing is reiterating essentially what Nick said. There's vast opportunities here. And the market for what we're developing is global. Everybody needs energy. Everybody wants to turn a light bulb on. Everybody wants to drive a car. So I guess my message is that it was great. We got great investment locally, and then we got great investment internationally. But it would be also great if we could get great multiple millions of dollars locally as well. And I don't see the opportunity at the moment, but I think it's about time that that opportunity was here for people coming up now. Thank you very much.